Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, golfers. Your tee time awaits. It's the Tee to Green Golf Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Got a thought on the PGA Tour? Want help with your swing? Give the show a call at 803-0550.
Tee to Green is being presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Tantera Golf Club, Briarwood Country Club, and Lancaster Country Club.
A hole in one, not bad.
Now it's time to talk golf. Here are your hosts, Brian Koziol, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Mitis.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into another edition of Tee to Green on the air here on WGR Sports Radio 550. I'm Brian Koziol. Thanks for joining us, along with PGA Pro Jeff Mitis. Kevin Sylvester, normally with us on golf assignment this week. Kevin will be back with us next week. Good show coming up, including a lot on this week's World Golf Championship event on the PGA Tour in Memphis. We will get you ready for next week's PGA Championship, a preview of the first major of the year coming up, including our picks and our thoughts on who are the golfers that may be shining and getting a chance at that trophy next week. In our second segment, great interview coming up with the executive director of the Western New York PGA, Stephen Bartkowski. Steve's been on our show many times before, and a lot of great things that you can get involved with in golf across the area, with doubles golf, juniors playing, how you can support our military or their charities, all that coming up with Steve Bartkowski in our second segment. But let's get right into this one. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Good morning, Brian. Good to talk to you again. It's been another nice week for golf, and it's looking even better next week. Some 70s, which I appreciate it. You know, yeah. I don't like this hot stuff. And golf's starting to rev up. It's been exciting. Too bad it's August already. That's the season feels like it's getting near the end, but it's not this year because the Masters isn't until November. So a lot of good news in golf right now. Yeah,
that's right. Yes, August 1st, we are here, and 2020, the weirdest year of my life, continues. But golf, luckily, has been a big part of it in the sense, Jeff, that we've gotten to play so much, and the weather's been a huge factor. If it had been a terrible golf season for weather, and we've had a lot less rounds, but golf courses are thriving, both public and private, the most rounds they're ever played, or at least in some time. And I know everybody in the golf industry, considering there's been a lot of disappointment this year, they're at least happy that many people, many members, many players are getting a chance to do what they love to do, which is play.
Well, it's a double-edged sword because your green, your rounds are up, but your food and beverage, if you own a facility or you're at a club, your food and beverage, which is a high margin part of the business too, is down because people aren't just – things are different. Our world's different that we live
can't
in.
Can't hang said out this, anymore, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
Or it's
to
harder
see,
to.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, for me, a lot of the fun playing golf was, you know, afterwards having a laugh with everybody and having a cold beverage on the patio, and there seems to be a lot less of that this year than there usually is, which is okay, but it's – But, you know, at least we're getting out to play golf still.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been tough that tournaments that people run for charities, some of them personal with family connections, some of them for bigger causes, but not in terms of, like, you know, just the companies and businesses doing things. But obviously those are staples of Western New York summers. And I think that everybody listening to this show, at some point you've played in one of those charity events or you play in multiple or many. And
many does Kevin play in a year of those?
That's right.
I mean, Kevin's rounds have to be down like 80% because I felt like he played in two of those a week.
Yes. When you come from an astronomical number that he's at and you bring it down, it's still pretty high, but It is down a little more. No, I you know, for all the area charities that have been affected by this, like we feel for you. This is something that we know we take pride in as, Jeff and I, proud members of the golf community here in Western New York. We know that golf does great things, including a lot of great work for charity. And we hope that a lot of that will continue in the future going forward.
Yeah, you know, it does raise a lot of money. Those golf events are some of the biggest fundraisers for some of these smaller groups every year. And it brings a lot of visibility to those events. And a lot of that's gone now because you can't have the dinner, you can't have the auctions, you can't have stuff like that. So people are trying to do it. There's a lot of cool things, the virtual stuff. We talked about the, was that 6-footer putt that they had, the virtual. There's been some cool workarounds that people have done. And that's what's nice about golf. There's so much versatility. There's so many ways you can have fun playing golf. And now we get to watch next week we get to watch a major championship. So things are going in the right direction as far as golf's concerned, as far as I can tell. So I'm excited about it all.
Brian Colziel, PGA Pro, Jeff Mitas here on Tee to Green. Thanks for listening. Presented by the Western New York PGA, Woods to Wedges, Michelob Ultra, Custom Turf, Jim Beam, and our home clubs, Tantara Golf Club, Briarwood Country Club, and Lancaster Country Club. Well, this week, still a good golf event, the World Golf Event in Memphis. And it's time now for a check of our PGA Tour leaderboard, brought to you by Callaway Chrome Soft. This ball is different, and also by Puma Golf Shoes. Bryson DeChambeau back at it this week. And in round one on Thursday, Jeff getting more camera time, which he likes, unless it's maybe not in a good way. And I don't know how he's going to take this, but the viral moment of Thursday's round was him talking about fire ants. His ball was underneath a tree in, I guess you'd say, some pine needles and straw. But he saw what he said was a fire ant and was asking for relief because of it. One of the head PGA tour officials came over and said, you know what, this is not considered an animal hole. As he's talking, Bryson's like, hey, there's another one. He pointed to an ant. He was looking for relief from possible fire ants. And the Twitter and social media world, Jeff, loved that. There was a lot of comments about it.
Well, I spent a little time on Paris Island, and they got fire ants. And what he had, I didn't think was much of a fire ant. I know this guy, he's always looking for an edge, right? And even in the rules here, you know, I think he's pushing the envelope. If he's trying to maintain an image, which I don't know if he is, he's pushing the limits of how to keep his image sharp and clean. That seemed a little petty to me. It's not a dangerous situation. I know the rules can help you. There's a lot of times where the rules of golf are an advantage to you, and you want to take advantage of that when they can. But in this situation, it seemed odd. It seemed peculiar. It seemed like he's grasping at straws to get a little better shot or a little better lie there. And I don't know if that's within the spirit. I found it a little awkward when, and he had a couple weeks ago, he had some funky problems with the rules also. So I know he's always searching for that edge. And this is just another area where he's trying to catch an edge on the golf course.
Yeah. I agree with that, with what you said there. It seemed ridiculous that he saw an ant and was looking for a leaf. However, I'll give him credit, because I ripped into him last week about how he treated the rules official. He was much more cordial and I thought polite this time in terms of how he handled it, even though he was, again, kind of disagreeing. He thought he should have gotten relief.
Yeah, it's not, you get relief from an animal hole or a dangerous situation. A few fire ants or a few ants is not a dangerous situation. 10,000 fire ants, you got a dangerous situation, but that's not a dangerous situation. I almost thought it was laughable.
Yeah. He also said one other thing, which I want to get to, which I know was kind of another thing that caused a little stir. He says not only does he want to reinvent golf, but he says, I also maybe want to live forever. Talked about a whole bunch of things this week about his training and why he's asking all the questions and everything. He goes, I've really gotten into deep of most of these things in my life that I have value to me. I always try to add more value to my life in general. I mean, my goal is to live to 130 or 140. I really think that it's possible now with today's technology. I think somebody's going to do it in the next 30 to 40 years. He goes, I want humans to be better. I want them to succeed. I want to say, hey, this is all the stuff I've experienced that helped me do my best. If it helps you, great. Well, Bryson wants to live to at least 130. So maybe we're going to have more of these conversations on camera here for the many, 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 many years to come. Is there a champions tour for those over 100, Jeff, that he might be playing on someday?
I don't know, but I do know that his mind works different than most people's. And yeah, I'm gonna keep my social distance from Bryson as far as some of those comments go. I mean, I don't know if I want to live to 140. It's a long time. I'm getting old as it is. The body breaks down after a while, but his body might not. He's been keeping really good shape. But yeah, he's a different bird, and that's some different comments. He's interesting to follow, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm sure we'll be followed closely at next week's PGA Championship. Speaking of body breaking down, Tiger did not play this week. I'm guessing he normally doesn't play the week before a major, Jeff, but geez, he's had one tournament. It was, I guess I'll call it okay, ho-hum. Made the cut of the number. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's not playing this week in a World Golf event that, you know, normally brings the best names out. Every big name is pretty much here except for Tiger.
Yeah, and it's a smaller field. I don't know. It's hard to read what's going on in his mind. He hasn't played much golf at all this year, not competitive golf. It's hard to get a read on where his game is. And it didn't look so sharp, like you said last time. But no one knows how to prepare for a major championship better than Tiger. You know, it's a big event. I'm sure he's played Harding Park, and he's Harding Park. Did I get that correct? And he's working on the shots and the things he needs to succeed there. And I don't know if his body's 100% either. He doesn't seem like he's 100%. Brooks Koepka's knee's hurting him, but he's still out there playing pretty well this week. And I don't know. It's weird to see, but it'll be good to have him back. I thought he might be there this week just to get a little bit more tournament golf in. But he's played a ton of tournament golf in his life, and maybe he doesn't need that tune-up.
Brian Colzie, PGA Pro, Jeff Mitas here on Tee to Green. Thanks for being with us. Let's get to our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week here, brought to you by the Western New York PGA, which has one goal, promoting the game of golf today, tomorrow, and beyond. We'll talk with Steve Barkowski, the executive director of the Western New York PGA, more on that in our next segment. But it's club championship week for me next weekend, Jeff, at Tantera. So I'll be playing there Saturday and Sunday. I'm excited about that. But it's club championship week for a lot of people around Western New York. So time for your annual bit of advice on how to play your club championship in the best way you can. What are your tips?
Yeah, I think it's a good time. You know, if you're preparing for your club championship right now, a few things I recommend, you know, make a lot of three footers, you know, go to that putting green and start making sure your alignment and your putting, you feel solid inside of 3-4 foot. There's nothing more frustrating than going out during a club championship and missing putts or missing shots that you make easily. You know, you get in the habit when you play with your buddies, you just step up and swat them or you pick them up, especially with the COVID. A lot of people aren't touching the flag stick and stuff. And now the ball's got to go in the hole. So just make sure that you're pretty solid there. The other thing is people tend to get real nervous around the club championship time. They put a lot of pressure on themselves to succeed. It's the biggest event of the year for a lot of golfers. I know, you know, if you're feeling those jitters on the first tee, that's kind of what makes it fun, right? That's why you're there in that event. And if you're having jitters, that means you're doing something cool in golf, right? So a lot of times a rough start is gets people going in club. You'll see a lot of rough starts in club championships because people have a lot of internal pressure. I like the people to ease into the round. I remember Tiger was like that. You remember Tiger playing in all those majors? You know, he never had a really great low first round, it seemed like. He always kind of made a bunch of pars early and got himself into the groove. I would suggest the same thing for people playing in their club championship. If you're uncomfortable, if you're feeling those jitters, or if you're not comfortable, say you're not comfortable with your driver on the first hole, hit the 3-wood or hit a hybrid. Just do something to get the ball in play, get the ball on the green. Take that big number out if you're nervous for the first couple holes. Just try to focus on what you do well and make some pars. This is a bad week. I mean, it's a good week to check in with your PGA Pro and get it, you know, hey, is my alignment good? How's my grip? Is there any, you know, but it's a bad week to take a lesson and try to change your swing. If you're playing in the club, I'm going to go and I'm just, instead of hitting hooks, I'm going to work on hitting fades. And it might be a tough week to do that. So go with what you know. Work on the things that you do well and work on the things you're not comfortable with. If you're not a comfortable bunker player, if you're not confident out of the bunker, throw some balls in the bunker. Find a way to get that ball out and get it on the green. You know, adapt. And so when you step into that shot, you're not nervous over it. You know, you're confident that you're going to hit a good shot. People tend to focus on the negative outcomes of their shots. So focus, if you're comfortable hitting a shot, you're going to be more focused on that. If you're not comfortable, you see a lot more of the negative outcomes, and that's when you hit bad shots. So just a few things like that. Just go work on your weaknesses a little bit. Try to start off, ease into your round, maybe be a little conservative early in your round in your club championship. And then once you're, you know, you get in a groove, you know how it is, after three or four hit holes, you feel like you're in the groove, the nerves go away, and you just play golf. Try to get to that point earlier in your round.
Good advice there from Jeff on our West New York PGA tip of the week. Hey, before we go to break, next week is a major on the PGA Tour calendar. It's the PGA Championship, and of course, our Tee to Green's Majors Challenge is back. If you haven't been following me on Twitter this week, I've been sending out tweets on how you can sign up for our Tee to Green's Majors Challenge. You want to email us the three golfers that you think you're looking for, obviously the top three golfers in this event to finish the best possible. Brought to you by our friends at Batavia Downs Gaming and Hotel and local Allstate Insurance agent Frank Jumpa out of Clarence. You're going to win a great prize pack from Batavia Downs Gaming and Hotel, which includes a free night in the hotel, free play money in the casino, a restaurant gift card as well. So you can send us it. One entry per person. All the information's on my Twitter handle at BrianWGR. I'll be tweeting it out throughout the week. But you want to email us your three golfers and a finishing winning score in relation to par for the tiebreaker. The email address, BataviaDownsMajorsChallenge@gmail.com. That's all you got to do. It's free to sign up. Just send us your three golfers, your tiebreaker score, and your name, and you're in. And it'll be all the entries will be posted on Twitter on Thursday, and then I put the results up on Sunday night after the tournament is over. So check that out again. Thanks to our friends at Batavia Downs Gaming and Hotel and also local Allstate Insurance agent Frank Jumpa for their support of our Majors Challenge. When we come back, Stephen Barkowski, the executive director of the Western Europe PGA. He'll join us next year on Tee to Green as we roll on with PGA Pro Jeff Mitis. I'm Brian Colziel, Derek Kramer producing. More Tee to Green coming up right after this.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Tantara Golf Club, Briarwood Country Club, and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned. More Tee to Green coming up.
Welcome back, everybody, to another segment here on Tee to Green. Brian Colziel, PGA Pro Jeff Mitis with us. Kevin Sylvester on assignment, as we said earlier in the show. We are, of course, getting ready for next week's PGA Championship. And a good segue here to bring in our guest for this week, the executive director of the Western New York PGA, Stephen Barkowski, is with us. Steve, good morning.
Morning, Brian. Morning, Jeff. Yeah, we're about a week away from the first major of 2020, which who would have thought it would be in August, the first major. So we're excited for the PGA Championship coming up.
I know it is definitely a different calendar this year. The Western New York PGA, a big supporter of Tee to Green and why we're on the air. And we like to bring on Steve from time to time to give you all the latest news and information on what's going on with the Western New York PGA, including the PGA Championship, which is next week, of course, their biggest event of the year, which we'll get to that maybe a little bit coming up in the latter portion of this segment here, Steve. But this year, obviously, with its challenges, I know the Western PGA is going through with some of its initiatives, including getting people involved in playing. We know that's one thing that has been a definite perk about this year, is that people are still able to play golf, and pretty much it's almost closest to full capacity like we're normally going through here. And I know that you and your staff have done a really nice job of trying to get the community involved and doing a lot of your normal events.
Yeah, COVID has obviously put a you know, damper on a lot of businesses, but we're fortunate that golf has been able to survive and in some cases thrive, because golf is a sport that actually created social distancing, if you will, way back when it started. And you're able to play with friends and family and get out there and get out of the house. So we're actually, from an overall standpoint, from a golf course standpoint, we're seeing the most rounds we've seen probably since the Tiger Woods era, which is great for our facilities across the region. We're seeing the most ever boxed sets, meaning people first time taking up the game of golf. They're buying bot sets. They've never had a set of golf clubs before. They're going to our PGA professionals. They're taking some lessons, and they're actually getting out on the course. So it actually has given the golf industry a little bit of a jolt, and it's exciting for us because we, as a PGA and PGA professionals and all our facilities, can actually give an outlet to these families and golfers that just want to get out and do something. So it's actually been since June, fun to watch all of our facilities responsibly managing their golf courses. And then from a Western Europe PGA side, we did have quite a delay. Usually we start our events, professional, junior, foundation programming in April. And this year we actually had to wait till June and started in Pennsylvania and came back here in New York State. But things have been going pretty smoothly since then. You know, we put in all of our protocols and procedures, and you know, we actually had so our junior tour that's open to ages 10 to 18. We usually have 30 events between April and August. This year, of course, it was June to August. So we've had pretty much a junior event every single day. We've done over 1,000 rounds of kids the past couple months. And we actually have our junior tour championship coming up this Monday and Tuesday. So we're moving. We're still conducting responsibly and getting kids out there, professionals out there. It's been, you know, just like anyone else in this world we're living in, day to day, you figure out what you can do, how you can do it, and you try to execute the best way possible for your customers.
So Steve, the PGA's got a lot of tendrils. We have our foundation, our junior program, our stuff for the program. How about the foundation? What can you give us any updates on our foundation?
Yeah, the foundation, again, was a little postponed. So our foundation called PGA Reach Western New York is actually the charitable arm of the Western New York PGA, and it's kind of the tool, the driving force of how we can give back to the community and grow the game of golf. There's three pillars under our foundation. That's youth, military, and diversity and inclusion. We had a lot of nice programs, including the Duster Challenge that we're hoping again run this year, that did get postponed. But we've been able to run some of the programs that we had. So PGA Hope, which is helping our Patriots everywhere. It's a golf program taught by our PGA professionals through the Buffalo VA Hospital. And we actually, due to regulations with 50 of a gathering, we actually had to cut off this year veterans, Jeff, which I've never seen before. This program started in 2013 with about 10 vets.
I remember.
Yeah. And now we are seeing 50 vets each and every week out of here at Glen Oak on Wednesday nights, learning the game of golf, getting back together with their brothers and sisters, and that camaraderie aspect. And we've been fortunate to get some good press. This program is very inspiring. Nick Martone is our PGA Hope ambassador. If you haven't seen him around, he's all over on the news right now, and golf has saved his life. And that's what this program does. It's really humbling. It's humbling for myself. It's humbling for our PGA professionals. And thank you to all the partners and sponsors that allow us to be able to give this program to these veterans for free. So from a diversity or from a military standpoint, that's what we've been running. Our junior tour, like I said before, we've done over 1,000 rounds in the past couple months, kids 10 to 18. We've had some regional events for high school kids that actually have missed out on their season. We're actually working on a few things this fall under our foundation to help with youth initiatives and playing golf for the high school kids that might not be able to do it this year. So we continue to strive to get kids involved in the game of golf, because it teaches kids life lessons, and it's a sport that you can do forever. So we continue to push their diversity and inclusion. You know, we did have a large program that was slated with United Way Women's Program, where we were going to bring in different females week in, week out to our home site here at Glen Oak and teach them get golf ready and how to play golf. Unfortunately, that has been postponed due to everything this year, but we're excited to get back to hopefully that pillar next year.
Stephen Barkowski with us, the executive director of the Western New York PGA here on Tee to Green. Hope you're having a good Saturday morning. Thanks for joining us here on WGR. You mentioned obviously a lot there, lots going on, but I want to follow up on the high schoolers just from knowing a few of them. For those that don't know, if you know the golf boys season here in Western New York, it's actually a fall sport, but within New York State, sectionals and the states, correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, actually go in the spring. So all the boys that may have had a great season, their chance to kind of go forward, that usually takes place in the spring. And obviously that got shut down with the rest of spring sports. So can you just expand a little on what you did for those high schoolers? I know you also included not only Section 6, but Section 5 as well, right?
Yeah, it's you know, you think back to when you were a high school senior athlete, right? And you think about your final year and the memories that you had all 4 years playing sports, and you know, it's just the times we're living in. Unfortunately, they couldn't conduct their championships. And we as a PGA thought, you know, why not provide an opportunity for Section 5 and Section 6 that's in our section? And we created what we call the Junior Showcase. So we had, I think, close to 60 kids out here for a 36-hole event at Glen Oak at our home site. Anthony Delasani and Emily Zagrosi actually qualified this week. They're going to the National High School Championship at Pinehurst. So we'll be following them along. We got some exemptions into that. But it was just it was a great day to see the kids out competing because, again, a lot of them had lost their spring high school season. And we just wanted to do something from a competitive standpoint. And we're looking to do the same thing, hopefully, this fall. We've been talking with some of the high school associations to see how we can help it. You know, if right now they're slated to possibly start September 21st, but they can't play any competitive golf until then. So can we provide an opportunity for them to keep their game sharp before their season starts?
Yeah, tournament golf's always a little different. And you know, I feel bad for those kids that...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
They lost their final chance to play in the States. Now, the PGA's had some really successful programs. There's a new one that started up on Friday nights. Can you explain that to us a little bit, Steve? It sounds like a lot of fun, actually. I'm excited about it.
If you haven't played yet, you've got to play. Doubles Golf, presented by Custom Turf, one of your sponsors as well as our local Encore Golf. And we actually have tonight, we've got over 50 players coming here to Glen Oak to play doubles golf. And we also have a second program running tonight at Niagara Frontier Country Club. So it's starting to explode, which we knew it would. It's what it is. It's a program, a two-person scramble. There's different divisions. There's mixed couples. There's a men's division. There's a seniors division. There's a women's division. And it's around the philosophy of social, the social aspect of golf. So you come out, you play nine holes. It takes you 2 hours, maybe a little over 2 hours. You have a few beverages and some food with some friends, and you have a basically a good night centered around golf. And what we've seen, because it's a new program, it was started by Jack Nicklaus. We're one of 14 sections across the country who have rolled it out this year. Of course, in the middle of COVID, it's never easy to roll out a new program, but it's actually, we're seeing the success of it. And they actually just went global. And this is the first ever golf format that was created in the United States. And we have an opportunity here to play. So I encourage anyone, Brian, such as yourself, if you're not doing it at Terran Terror, go to Don Schneider. It takes him 5 minutes. It's free to sign up your facility. And all you have to do is you go out and play at any time. You can play with any other team anytime. You get rated on an app. It's only $30 a player. And then we're going to have some state championships, and the players will move on to the Bears Club. And the thing that we found that I didn't really expect, because, you know, we talk about the social aspects and the fun aspects. We're seeing golfers who have never played before. It's a max double bogey on each hole, so you just pick up and you can move on. But we're also seeing some of the best players in the state play. So we're seeing 5 underscores, 6 underscores for nine holes. And it's an opportunity for them to actually go to a national championship this November. So we're actually rolling out an announcement this week, too. It's called Doubles Golf Week. It's coming mid-August. And if your facility signs up, any round competed at your facility, a portion of the proceeds is going to all the frontline workers in our local region. So look for that announcement coming soon. And I hope we get a few more facilities on board before our state championship.
Steve, you played in it, right? Are you playing in it with your wife?
I play every week. I've got two teams. You can have as many teams as you want. I've got a team with my wife. That's where we go out for fun with some of our couples. And then I also have a team with a business friend in the region, John Osberg, and we've done okay. We've shot a few under par each week.
Well, I know your wife's competitive and a good player, so maybe you think it's fun. I think she's out there trying to win.
I'm just, yes, exactly. I just get out of her way, watch her hit the shots, and cheer her on.
And it can be any level, Steve, you said, and it's not even – if you have two people that want to do it, they may not be at the same skill level. That's okay, right? Any handicap, any sort of level of player can play this, right?
Yeah, the best thing about it is it's so all you have to be is 25 years or older. You can be at any skill level. It's a scramble format, so there's no actual handicaps. It's based on your score each and every week to get this rating, A1 through C3. That's based on your divisions and where you'll play in the championship. But, yeah, like I said, there's a lot of mixed couples that play here every Friday night at Glen Oak. And I would say the men usually play golf, it seems like, week in and week out. And their wives may have never played golf before, but it still works out. They have a lot of fun.
Scramble format is always good, Jeff, right, for any tournament. Yeah. I mean, not only for some interesting decisions on shots, but if you mess up, it's not a big deal. You got your partner to bail you out.
Yeah, it's funny how well you drive the ball sometimes in those scrambles when you don't have to worry about where it lands because your partner's in play or something like that. But, you know, it's 2 hours. Nine holes is perfect. You know, it's a Friday night deal. It's just a great way to go out and put it on your calendar. You know how golf is. You put it on your calendar, you're going to show up and play, and then you always have fun. You almost never regret having played nine holes of golf. It's another one of the programs that PGA's done, like Get Golf Ready, the junior programs. They've been very, very successful, and golf's growing, and we've had a great year. I mean, golf's it's record. Every club I go to, they're just killing it with rounds this year. I'm talking to Glen Oak, they're doing 295 rounds on a Tuesday, which, you know, you'd get excited about 225 on a Saturday a couple of years ago. So it's good for the business, and it's good to see more and more people and things like this doubles golf going to spark golf. You know, golf's supposed to be fun.
Yeah, and, you know, the biggest thing from a PGA standpoint and our professionals is, you know, we want to be able to touch as many of these new golfers as we can because we want to spark their interest. We want to get them playing, you know, when we get back to whatever this normal is in this world, we want them to continue to play golf and see that they can play golf for the rest of their lives. So, yeah, Jeff, like you said, every single facility around our region, I'll talk to their pros, and the rounds have never been higher. Teaching lessons have never been higher. Equipment sales have never been higher. So it's great to see that passion. And quite frankly, even myself, you know, I it's a busy time for us, and I don't get to play much golf throughout the year, but I've gotten that bug even myself to play a little bit more this year, and it's been a lot of fun.
Steve, I last week I mentioned this at the end of our show, but I'm sure you get a chance, I'm sure, to speak with pros and interact also with other staff members. I know the weather's been helpful, but my goodness, for the amount of volume of rounds played at area courses, how good a shape I'm hearing everybody say. You know, oh, I played such and such. Oh, my God, it was the best I've ever seen it. And I've played over here, and the greens are perfect. Like, for the volume that these courses are getting, the superintendents and their staff and the pros, I think I don't mind giving them another shutout this week. We talked about it last week, but I'm sure you're hearing good feedback too.
Yeah, the superintendents need a huge round of applause for what they're doing because, like you said, the traffic first and foremost, and the lack of rain and the heat we've seen, that's not easy to keep your golf course in good shape. And you're right. You know, I played different facilities around the area the last few weeks, and everyone, it's better than the last and the shape it's in and the condition it's in. So yes, a huge round of applause to superintendents for keeping their facilities, managing the rounds played and the heat to create the most enjoyable experience for all golfers.
Tee to Green here on WGR, presented by the Western New York PGA, Woods to Wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, Michelob Ultra, Custom Turf, Jim Beam, and our home clubs, Tantera, Briarwood, and Lancaster. A few more minutes here with the executive director of the Western New York PGA, Stephen Barkowski. Steve, before we talk about next week's PGA Championship, I know an individual you wanted to bring up, Jason Ballard, has gotten himself a nice award that I know you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, so the PGA of America, for those who don't know, is the largest sports organization in the country, in the world. And we've got 29,000 plus PGA professionals, 300 of those sit in our section. Every year, the National PGA of America gives out 12 awards throughout the 29,000 PGA professionals to different categories. And this is the third time in the history of the Western New York section, we've been around almost 100 years, that one of our local PGA professionals actually received a national award. So Jason Ballard from Oak Hill Country Club, he received the National Private Merchandiser of the Year Award. Huge honor, really proud of him, his team, the membership at Oak Hill, and the representation that he has for the Western New York PGA, just showing how strong our section is, how good our PGA professionals are. And he follows the Craig Harmon won the PGA Professional of the Year back in 2004, and then Jim Merva from Monroe Golf Club won the PGA Professional of the Year back in 2010. So anytime we can have some national recognition for the Western New York section and our facilities and the members and the pros, it's a great honor. So yes, congratulations to Jason. If you do see him at Oak Hill, you get the opportunity to go out there. I haven't seen it yet, but I heard the renovations and the changes to the East Course are just absolutely phenomenal. We're looking forward to being able to host the championship there once again in 2023.
Yeah, it's cool. Like, one of the coolest golf courses in the world also has one of the coolest golf shops in the world. So if you're a golf nut, it's, you know, I mean, just walking in the shops, super cool. And then you get to play that course. It's neat. And Jason's a really good guy. We've had a lot of experience with him. Real happy for him. A true class professional, someone to emulate as a PGA professional.
Yeah, it's a great place to play. If you ever have a chance to do it through a variety of ways, just do it. And as you said, the pro shop is awesome. And you feel the history when you're at Oak Hill. And, you know, that area with the plaques and with all the tournaments, I mean, it goes through it all. But, I mean, just we've said it so often how fortunate we are to have one of the world's best golf courses right here in our Western New York region. Very cool. Okay, speaking of, as you said, a future site of the PGA Championship, next week is the PGA Championship, the first major of the year. It's at TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. And there are so many players that I guess you could talk about playing well for this. But in terms of the event, Steve, this year, no fans. I think golf on TV, for the most part, I think people are getting used to just kind of seeing it in this format. So I don't know if it'll, you know, obviously it would be exciting to have them there, but I don't think it'll ruin it in any way. But as we look to kind of the headlines of next week, we're going to have golf here in the East Coast in prime time with it being in San Francisco. What is some of the thoughts of kind of what you're looking forward to watching next week?
Yeah, anytime you get to see some of the best players in the world play some of the toughest tests in the world, it's always exciting. And obviously it's different this year. No spectators, but you'll still see that a great experience for the players and even the fans on TV. And PGA of America just announced that they're going to be running 24/7 coverage. So you won't miss, if you don't want, you won't miss a shot of the PGA Championship next week because they're just running constant coverage. And we're excited. I mean, it's funny because I think it was last year we made the decision, first time ever, to move the PGA Championship from the typical late July, early August date back to May. And now with COVID, we're actually back to our original date, which is which is funny. It'll be back in May, hopefully moving forward. But, we've got exciting golf starting with the PGA Championship and ending, I think, with the Masters this year coming up in the next few months. And, you know, it is unfortunate that as a fan you can't go to it, but at least you get to see it on TV and watch some of the best players in the world compete. And, you know, the one unfortunate thing, I think, Brian, and especially for our local section, is, you know, coming up this month, we have championship month, and our PGA professionals actually compete to try to play in the PGA Championship every year. This year, because of COVID, those that qualified for the next level, that tournament got canceled. So our PGA professionals who were trying to qualify for the PGA Championship didn't actually have the opportunity to make it. They went off the national points list, so the top 20 PGA of America professionals in the country will actually be competing on the national stage. But it's a little unfortunate for all the sections, including ours, that didn't have that local opportunity to go to the PGA Championship.
And that's awesome. That's for this year's tournament, right? That's not for the 2021. Okay, so this year it's based upon the rankings. Okay.
Correct, yeah. We've got our section championship coming up mid-August at Cobblestone Creek in Rochester. Three PGA professionals out of the probably 50 or 60 that will compete. We'll go to the next round, which is the National PGA Championship. And then from there, the top 25 make it into the PGA Championship.
I saw something I thought was cool there. Because of the COVID, you have to have spacing. So they took that merchandise tent. If you've ever been to the PGA Championship and seen how massive the merchandise tent, that is now the locker room for the players, so they can space them out enough to have a to have enough room to get those guys and keep them away from each other. Pretty neat adaptation to a tough situation.
And let's hope, as you mentioned that, this week at the World Golf event in Memphis, they reported zero positive cases for COVID. So let's hope that that keeps going. It seems like the PGA Tour and the players have gotten themselves locked in on that. All right, see, before we go, let's get a pick from you here. I'll give you some of the favorites here. McIlroy right now is the favorite, 8-1. DeChambeau, 10-1. Rahm, 11-1. Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, 12-1. Tiger, 18-1. Cantlay, Morikawa, Schauffele, Simpson, Rose, Spieth, Finau, all amongst the top 15 in terms of the betting lines. Who do you like next week?
You know, I don't know if it's going to happen, but I would love to see it. I would love to see Tony Finau come through. I would love to see him win a major. Good guy, good player. He's been there the last few weeks. He just had a few bad weekends, but his game, I think, is right there. And I'll go with Finau and see how he does.
He's been so close over the course of this restart in terms of the play. I agree. He seems like everything I've read, just people keep saying what a great guy he is, that he's so well-liked on tour. I'd be happy to see him finish it. Jeff, we'll get your pick next segment. So hold that in. I know it's a highly rated segment normally, so we might as well have it at his own segment.
Yeah, a lot of driveway moments for people right now, waiting to hear who I pick in the next segment.
That's right. It's just called a great radio tease, people waiting for Jeff's pick here during the commercial break. Steve, thanks for joining us. As always, we appreciate the Western York PGA's support of the show here, even in our interesting year that we've had. And keep doing the good work here, as golf is obviously doing a great job here as part of our interesting year of 2020 continues.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me. Thanks for everything you do for golf in the region. I look forward to chatting again soon.
Awesome. Stephen Barkowski, the executive director here of the Western York PGA. When we come back, yes, Jeff and I will break down the PGA Championship a little more when we return, including, yes, our highly anticipated picks. When we return right after this on Tee to Green on WGR Sports Radio 550.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, custom turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Tantara Golf Club, Briarwood Country Club, and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned. More Tee to Green coming up.
Welcome back. Final segment here on Tee to Green. Brian Koziel, PGA Pro, Jeff Mitas, thanks for being with us. Want to thank Stephen Barkowski, the executive director of the Western New York PGA, for joining us last segment. Of course, you can get a lot of the information that Steve talked about, if you missed it, on their website, WNYPGA.com. One more reminder here as we get set to preview the PGA Championship. Don't forget to sign up for our Majors Challenge. All the information is on my Twitter handle at Brian WGR. A chance to win a great prize pack courtesy of Batavia Downs Gaming and Hotel. Before we get to our PGA Championship picks here in our preview, let's get to our Champions Tour report brought to you by Donald Ross Clothing, the official clothing of all of us here on Tee to Green. The Ally Challenge going on this weekend. It's the first official event back of the Champions Tour. But I want to do a shout out for another golfer who's over 50, Jeff. And that's Miguel Angel Jimenez, the most interesting golfer in the world. He played in his 707 European Tour event this week. He obviously plays on all the tours, Champions Tour, some PGA Tour events, and 707. He now has the most events played in the history of the European Tour, and he still looks good. And guess what? His first round, he went out and shot a 64. He's still doing really well.
Yeah, I love that guy. He is the most interesting man in the world, right? He's fun to watch. He's got such a great attitude of golf, and his warm-up stretches are hilarious. So congratulations to him. 707 European Tour. That's insane. You can imagine. That's a lot of plane flights, I can imagine, for that guy.
Yep, and he plays in some of the events statewide too, in Champions Tour events and things like that, and obviously has played in PGA Tour events. So it's not like he just stayed in Europe and just played there to accumulate this. He's been back and forth and playing that many events. That's amazing.
And how good do you have to be for that long to be able to keep your card to be, and he's still competing. Like you said, shooting 64. Just a great golfer.
Yeah, no doubt. One little announcement this week, the USGA and the US Open, which will be at Wingfoot in late September in Westchester in New York, announced this week that the event will go on without fans. There was some hope maybe that New York State would allow it, but that's now official, Jeff, which I guess I was expecting.
Yeah, that's not a surprise. I don't think anybody's shocked by that. A little disappointed. Even if they had a few fans, it'd be kind of cool, but you know, I understand why, and I'm still glad that they'd be playing the U.S. Open, so I'm looking forward to that.
That's right. And maybe locally, some people may have originally, before COVID, been thinking of going this year. You know, in June, it's a nice trip to make, maybe about a 5.5-6 hour drive to get there, but no fans at the U.S. Open. That'll be in late September.
You know, it'll be cool. Like, you get to see parts of the golf course you don't see because there'll be no fans, and it's such a cool place. It'll still be good TV.
Yeah. Okay. Great TV will be the PGA Championship next week. PGA.com, as Steve said in our last segment, for a ton, essentially almost like 24-hour coverage. ESPN takes over for TNT with the first two rounds, and a lot of it's in prime time. The big TV window is from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. You're going to see a lot of it on ESPN because it's in San Francisco. So East Coast primetime golf, we love that. And Harding Park hosted a world golf event back in 2005. So players could be somewhat familiar with it, but it's not necessarily one that the average viewer maybe sees on a year-to-year basis. But we know DeChambeau is going to be a big name going in. We talked about him in our first segment. McIlroy is the betting favorite. John Rahm just moved to number one in the world. Who are a player or two, Jeff, that you've got your eye on going into this event next week?
You know who I'm watching right now is Brooks Koepka. Had a nice first round this week. Was struggling with his putter. Apparently got a putting lesson and has completely, you know, changed his perspective on putting. He'd been struggling with his putting. I think he was plus five against the field as far as putting stats go throughout the season so far. So he was on the far positive end that early this week. If he can get his putting stroke going, that guy has the confidence. He has everything he needs. He's good in majors. For some reason, he seems to come up in majors. Rory's been struggling a little this year. So I'd be surprised to see him play very well next week. I haven't seen many flashes from Rory. I mean, there's flashes, but I don't feel like he's been playing well as of late. And I'm doubtful that Bryson DeChambeau is going to have a good week too. I think John Rahm and Brooks Koepka are the two guys I'd be looking at to think that might play very well next week.
Realistic expectations for Tiger. I mean, are we just hoping that he makes the cut? I mean, we know the rough will be up. If he's not accurate off the tee, he's going to be in trouble. Or do you expect him to compete here, Jeff? What's your thoughts on Tiger?
It's hard to say. It's hard to expect him to compete and to win the event because we haven't seen much of it this year, and we haven't seen much of Tiger. And when we have seen him play, it hasn't been that great. So I have low expectations. I'd love to see him make the cut. I'd love to see him, you know, somewhere around the lead at some point just for great TV and out on the West Coast. It'd be fun. But my expectations are kind of low for him right now.
By the way, that event, the World Golf Championship event, that was the American Express Invitational in 2005, that was at TPC Harding Park. Woods won that event back in...
Well, there's a shocker.
That's right.
Yeah, that's he right. Wins everything back then.
I know. Okay, how about a pick, Jeff? Who's going to win?
You know, I'm going to go with my boy Brooks Koepka, just because I think, you know, if he gets hot with the putter, he's going to be good, and he's good in the majors. He seems to rise to the occasion in the majors, and he's very confident right now.
Yep. I'm going to go a little bit down the board. I really have been liking this guy's game since the restart, and I love his attitude. He's a young guy, and maybe this is too early for him in his career, but Victor Hovland has been playing great. Mm. And he's 40-1. So if I was a betting man, I'd throw a little on that with the 40-1 odds. He's been in contention to win. I know he hasn't officially won during this restart, but he's had some top tens. I love his like just kind of chill attitude that he's got right now, the way he's playing. When he has a bad hole, he shakes it off, comes right back. I really like the way he's playing. So if I'm going to pick somebody that's not one of the big names to win next week, that's my pick.
Yeah. I could see throwing a $20 bill down at 40-1 on Victor Hovland. That'd be a nice bet. And you are right. He, there are a lot of guys that can win. It's golf's the hardest game to handicap. I feel it. You know, when you're trying to figure this out, it's very, you know, football, basketball, baseball, it's a little easier to handicap those things. Golf's very difficult, except when Tiger was, you know, number one in the world, he was pretty easy to pick, but it's a tough sport, and it's a golf course we haven't seen. It's a beautiful place, and it'll be fun to watch, but yeah, I'd love to see Victor Hovland win. That would be a ton of fun to watch him coming down the last few holes, trying to hold on to the victory or make some birdies. It's going to be entertaining no matter what.
Sure. And speaking of betting, one of the great lines from one of the great movies, there is no betting at Bushwood, right? No. Caddyshack. There, 40 years ago, and we should have had it on the show last week. Shame on me. 40 years ago last Saturday, so a week from last week, was the 40th anniversary of the release of Caddyshack. And yes, there's no betting at Bushwood, of course, is one of the famous lines from that show. But Jeff, Caddyshack, is that the best golf movie ever?
Hands down, no brainer. Absolutely the best golf movie there ever was. I showed it to my kids who worked in the bag room. They thought it was some old movie. They thought it was hilarious. Anybody that's been around a club knows that. And a little known fact, Tim Freeze used to work at the club where that was filmed. So he worked there for a winter. But yeah, great, great golf movie. And people are still quoting that every day on every golf course all around the world.
Right. And I should quote it properly for the Caddyshack, you know, yes, real fans out there. It's quote, "Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slice."
I was going to correct you, but I didn't want to.
That's right. That's right. That's right. But no, some of the great lines from that 1980 film, of course, what is turned into a meme by far on the internet as well. We're waiting. That one.
Cinderella story.
That's right. A former greenskeeper about to become a Masters champion. Bill Murray, of course, with his great lines in there. And then remember, Danny, two wrongs don't make a right, but three rights make a left. some great lines. And of course, somebody out there has been that annoying guy that's yelled Noonan in the middle of your putting stroke, right, Jeff?
Yeah. But if you're going to yell something, I like Noonan way better than potato whatever, you know, whatever they're yelling.
Smash potatoes or whatever.
Yeah. Noonan's way funnier.
Yeah. What a great movie. If you haven't watched Caddyshack, it is your assignment this week. You have to watch it. If you haven't watched it in a long time, you should watch it. Yeah, they filmed at Rolling Hills Golf Club in Davie, Florida. It's now known as Grand Oaks Golf Club, built in 1959. The reason they chose it for the movie, Jeff, was because there's actually no palm trees there. They wanted it to look kind of like an older Midwest sort of course, but they had it there in Davie, Florida, but there's no palm trees on the course, so that's why they chose to film it there.
And the lines from that are classic. You know, now you make me want to go find it on Netflix and watch it one more time, because all you do is you giggle through the whole movie. It's a fun movie to watch.
That's right. If you want to play the course, it's actually Grand Oaks is the name of it now. It's the home of the Division II NSU men's and women's golf teams. So there you go. You want to make that golf team, you can play that. That can be your home course.
That'd be kind of cool. Yeah, it'd be fun to tell you. Yeah.
Absolutely. I play at the course where Caddyshack was. That's right.
Yeah, I'd like to, if I was down there, I'd like to play it just to say I played it.
That's right. So if you're down in Davie, Florida, Grand Oaks is the name of the course where Caddyshack was filmed. So 40th anniversary and a great golf movie. And a great movie, just being beyond golf. Okay, enjoy the rest of your weekend, Jeff. And next week we'll be talking about the PGA Championship. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, looking forward to watching some of that on TV this week.
Absolutely. All right, thanks to Stephen Barkowski from the Western PGA for joining us last segment. Thanks to Derek Kramer, as always, for producing. And for PGA Pro Jeff Minas, I'm Brian Colziel. I thank you for listening. Tee to Green every Saturday right here on WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.